As far as I can tell, this is simply an attempt by the administration to do what it wanted to do a year ago. ISIS has a very interesting history, and it has become our target and that of some other countries for reasons I don't fully understand. And there are certainly some of the other groups there that would be considered extreme by the U.S. government. The U.S. government understands, it should understand, that anything it does to specifically attack any rebel group in Syria, whatever its orientation, by extension helps the Syrian government. But what I can see happening is that the targets they're selecting are those that have, in many cases, no military value at all to ISIS or any other rebel group, but really are intended to break whatever infrastructure the Syrian government will have when the fighting is over, such as the Conoco refinery and the grain elevator. Last time I had looked, a refinery doesn't launch an attack, and a grain elevator is a very poor weapon of mass destruction. But those are really important to the Syrian government if they are able to retake them once this fighting is over and use for themselves. So what seems to be happening is sort of a complicated two-pronged approach. One is to attack specific rebel groups that are considered to be, if not ISIS, at least aligned with ISIS, to make them less capable of operating militarily. And secondly, to do such damage to the infrastructure in Syria, to the economic and industrial infrastructure within Syria, that any Syrian government after the fighting will be so weakened that it will be vulnerable to further attack. It's trying to do both, take out both its extreme rebels and the Syrian government. One thing I think it's important for people overseas to understand, not just in Iran, but anywhere overseas, is that the United States is now entering its 14th year of continuous warfare. Warfare has become a normal part of the political and public and social environment here. People have become accustomed to soldiers deploying in units and coming back. There is almost no public or congressional questioning, much less opposition, to the attacks now taking place largely by the U.S. in Iraq and Syria. It is almost as if Orwell's 1984, a situation of permanent war and permanent propaganda and permanent surveillance, has come to pass. Not quite Orwellian, but very, very close to it. And it is fascinating to see the extent to which this permeates the society here across the political spectrum and across the parties. What helps this is that America's losses have been so light. In over 13 years of war, going into the 14th year, our casualties in this country have been less than a tenth that of the entire Vietnam War of 14 years. And the losses are so low, they produce no public opposition. And since there is no draft, no conscription, there is no opposition from the campuses or the rest of the academic community. War has become a normal part of the American political discourse, and that is extremely dangerous for a lot of other countries. What is even more fascinating to me, although I know the reason for it, which is effective lobbying by AIPAC and its associates, is that the principal threats to the United States, external threats, come from the narcotics trafficking and everything that it permeates, it does to permeate the society. And that is coming from the south of us. Yet except for a brief interlude in Panama 25 years ago, all of our wars are in the Middle East. And that is not coincidental.